if a user goes and drops their Netflix viewing history, they get to mint one of these NFTs. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's just basically three clicks. Like, the user need to download their Netflix data, log into our dashboard, and upload the data. Just basically three clicks. We mint the NFT on Polygon to the wallet directly, and we pay the gas. So the user basically doesn't need to do anything after uploading the data.
Welcome to the Ocean Missions Campfire Podcast, where we discuss Ocean Protocol, Web3, and blockchain data. Before we get started with today's interview, I'd like to quickly thank the Ocean Protocol Ambassadors Program for sponsoring this podcast. They sponsor a number of community outreach initiatives, and if you'd like to get involved or learn more, just follow the link in the show notes. Today we're going to be speaking to Amir. He is the founder of Data Latte, and him and his team are doing some very interesting stuff around data ownership and NFTs. So welcome to the show, Amir.
Thanks a lot, Scott. It's a pleasure for me to be here. It's actually my first podcast, and I'm happy that you're doing it, man.
Awesome. Well, yeah, glad to have you on board here for your first podcast episode, and I'm sure it'll be the first of many more. So I was wondering if we could start off and just tell us a bit about yourself and what led you to begin working on Data Latte.
Yeah, sure. So basically, I'm an engineer. I finished my PhD in microelectronics chip design about a year ago. And through my PhD program, I kind of got to the conclusion that I don't have interest in this industry, since I didn't feel like what I'm working on is actually solving any real-world problem. So it was around the time that the pandemic hit. So I left the university and started traveling in my van around Europe. Then I was initially writing my thesis on the road, and afterward I adopted my dog Pedro in south of Spain, who is also my business partner now. And so on the road I started exploring all type of business ideas. My first concept was actually a cafe catering to dogs and humans. And so I started to read about the dog's diet, and I started cooking for Pedro. And after a week, I realized that he's losing weight. So I figured out maybe that's the wrong idea. And at the same time, I was parked outside of a resort in South Italy. I was doing work away in giving advice to this resort under solar power management. So from that, I got really into urban sustainability for a while, and I was toying the idea of founding a fully sustainable cafe to showcase urban sustainable technologies and promote a greener way of living. And originally I was going to do that in Berlin. And so I started doing a lot of research, and the more I researched, the more I realized it wasn't feasible. And I was more also interested in technology than food. And after spending so much time coming up with all these different type of technologies I want to put in the cafe, I realized I didn't have any idea or come up with a decent menu for the cafe. So at this point, I gave up on the idea of actually going to food industry, and I thought I better stay with technology. And so basically, I was doing a little bit of research on variable sensors, and from there to the actual data you can collect from the bodies, I came kind of into the data protocols. So my research came to data protocols, and at the same time, I was concerned and frustrated with big tech, that they're actually creating more problems for the people to maximize their data-driven profit, rather than solving problems. And also the economic gap they created, it was getting wider. And basically, I thought it makes a lot of sense. If we can give the power back to the people, with data monetization. And also, it's time for the people to earn what's rightfully theirs. So after I got to this conclusion, I was kind of fired up. I thought I'm gonna talk to my sister because she was a data scientist professor. So I see what is the pain points that as a data scientist she struggles with, and also her students. And she explained to me that the independent data scientists really struggle to find affordable and also accessible private data, since all this data is in the hand of the data police. So I started all over again with this back of my mind. I did a lot of research into data protocols since they were in the realm of software. For me, it was more new because my background was hardware. But I was really sure of the direction that we are going with data and Web3. So I started studying all type of modules to learn it, to program a little bit, to use it from smart contracts to encryption protocol, you name it, anything that was needed. So yeah, that's how Data Latte was born.
Very interesting. So you went from trying to feed humans and dogs and ended up with a cafe that had a lot of technology and not so much food. And then slowly but surely it led you to Ocean Protocol and personal data.
Yeah, and on top of that, still if you think about it, it's a cafe, you know. This time around, the data baristas, the robots are making the cafe in Data Latte.
Amazing. I love it. Cool. So, I mean, you sort of touched on the problem that Data Latte is sort of looking to address there, and specifically around, you know, these larger tech platforms and maybe some sort of unintended consequences as a result of their data driven business models and so on and so forth that we, you know, sort of hear a lot about. So, you know, would you mind maybe just doing a bit of a deep dive into, or shallow dive, or however deep you want to go, into the problem that Data Latte, excuse my accent, is looking to address here?
Yeah, sure. So basically, since we are a two-sided platform, both for the people, internet users, and on the other side for data scientists, we focus on two main problems. And the first issue is for the people is that they do not receive any benefit from their data, while big tech earns all the money from it. And also they don't have any true ownership or control, or they don't even have the control to say who have access to their data, what is their data being used for. And they're not even aware of how creative these companies are in collecting their data and linking it together. There is minimal transparency on that regard, with these complicated terms and agreements to force people to just accept things, like accepting a cookie when we go to a website. And so basically the first major step, in my opinion, that was took, it was in 2018 when the EU passed the GDPR laws that forced them to allow access to people to have their data and also request to delete that data. So these regulations are the right step, but they didn't solve the problem completely. And here we at Data Latte, we try to put this law into full force for the people. And the second problem that we are addressing is for the data scientist. If you're a data scientist who like to work independently, you don't have access to good quality data. You can Google a little bit, go on Kaggle and find some limited databases. But if you want to have access to big tech data, you gotta work for the big tech. And if you work for them, you need to do your data science project, or you need to do your work so that it maximizes the profit of the company. You don't get to choose, and you don't get to be creative other possibilities what you can do with that data. You only get to do what they want you to do, and that's not necessarily in favor of the people. or the users of that platform. And in a lot of cases, actually, is manipulating people's behavior and exploiting their digital light. So this way, we're gonna deliver such a high quality data to data scientists to develop applications with their creativity that ultimately helps these people and try to solve actually world's problem.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, there's a couple of points. Sorry for just jumping in. I just want to kind of wrap up a couple of the sort of points that you touched on. I mean, one of them is this, you know, the idea of the data exhaust, or basically, you know, this stream of information which is falling out the back of your either everyday interactions or, you know, your Netflix viewing history and Google Maps and all the rest of it. Everything is basically just spewing out tons and tons of data. And the GDPR sort of regulation came about and said, actually, you own that. So you, as the person that is basically, you know, creating that data exhaust, you have a fundamental right or some form of legally recognized ownership over that data stream or those data streams. And then you kind of, so that's sort of the kind of product, I suppose, you know, the source of the data, and then the kind of the product, which is just, you know, all of this data coming together in some way, shape or form, and people figuring out, you know, ways to either use it or leverage it further. And kind of what you're saying is that by pulling all of that data together in a, you know, somewhere where data scientists can come along and use the product that, you know, let's be honest, most people aren't even aware that they're creating, really, and begin to sort of build things on top of that. Is that, would you say that's sort of a fair kind of summary of the sort of situation?
Yeah, exactly. And another problem that I see with the current data market that is really advertising driven, you know, is everything is about selling something. And so if you want to sell something, you find you're selling a product to solve a problem. But what if that problem is not really actually real world problems? You know, the advertising industry is just trying to manipulate people to buy things that are not necessarily solving problems.
Yeah, very interesting. And if that data is being pulled into, you know, protected server inside of a FAANG company, then yeah, good luck getting access to that. Yeah, very, very interesting. So, you know, there's a space which seems to be getting more and more attention as time goes by, even if you're just to look at the last couple of years, you know, with things coming out, you know, whistleblowers from Facebook and the like. You know, is there other ways that people have looked at or are looking to address this problem that you've come across?
Yeah, there are a lot of foundations and standardization groups among the industry, the government, academics, etc., that they see the problem and they claim to be solving this problem by introducing and creating a framework. And so basically, what I see the problem is that if you want to put these frameworks into action, it's not easy when they try to bring big tech to do something that limits their growth strategies and hinders their profit. So big tech, having all the money and power, don't really adopt it. On the other hand, what now came to being with Web3 is enabling an open, immutable, and democratic framework that really enables this time around to try to get the power back from these tech monopolies. And a lot of other projects as well are claiming to give data back to the people. And in general, the more the better. If users get to upload their data to 100 platforms and earn from it, why not?
I mean, it's a good point, right? If you're the consumer or the creator of this data and you have the ability to monetize through many different ways, then it's not necessarily a bad thing. And arguably, if you have more choice, then you can kind of choose which ones you send your data towards and which ones maybe you don't. So I think you touched on sort of this concept of Web3 maybe changing the dynamic a bit. You know, what is it about Data Latte that you see as being addressed? You know, why does Data Latte address this problem, and what makes it better than the others, do you think?
Yeah, so basically I see our platform is going after three problems, and so basically two problems for the people and one problem for the data scientist to solve. And the main problem for the user would be the data ownership and also the possibility of benefiting from it. So for that, we are providing a full ownership of the data to the people, enabling to anonymously earn from it when that data is sold in our data marketplace. So that's the first thing and the most basic thing that any data platform should offer to the people. That finally, with this technology, people can be the real owner of the data and not anymore through a third party. The second problem that I see is the economic imbalance and how big tech is widening the gap. So to go about that in Data Latte, what we introduced are these data barista NFTs that makes our users the owners of Data Latte. So these NFTs are not just like a piece of artwork that are unique, they're also the digital identity of the user in our platform. And what we do is that we provide a set of data quests that the data baristas or the users can accomplish. And by doing so, they increase the value of their data. For example, we asked for the first data upload to be the Netflix viewing history. So from that, we can see the taste of the movies that people watch. And then we had a data quest and asked people, if you would prefer to have ketchup or mayonnaise with your fries? That's a very basic question to ask. And one might ask, how can you link them together? But if we know what taste of movie a person has, for example, a person likes to watch more action movies, and we realize that they prefer, the majority of the action movie fans, they prefer ketchup. So that's a sort of insightful result for a data scientist to see these patterns and then give it to the businesses around the movie theaters, that if there is an action movie theater screening, then it's better to put some ketchup options more in the front for the people to catch. So that's what we created, this data quest and kind of the gamification of the process with these data baristas, to bring them into a leaderboard and ranking so they can do this data quest and increase their XP. And while they do so, the more XP they earn, the more intelligent their data barista gets. And by doing so, they will have higher voting power in the DAO, that some of the most influential decision-making will bring it to the DAO to decide. And as well, they also receive a bigger share of the pie. And the pie is actually the market fees that we're collecting it and sharing it with the data baristas. And coming to the problem for the data scientist lacking good quality data is that we give them access to a high quality data that it wasn't accessible before for an affordable price in the data marketplace. And this time around, they're free with their creativity to create actual products that solves real world problems and not necessarily stick to the agenda of a company that hires them to do it.
Cool. So, I mean, there's quite an interesting, you know, kind of layers to how you're building on top of this, you know, Web3 and NFT stack. I mean, one of them is that you're using that NFT as the kind of, identifier of a data source, in this case, you know, someone who's giving their Netflix history and whether or not they like tomato sauce or mayo. But obviously, you know, that data source could be many, many different things. And if that's all sort of linked back to that NFT, then you have that individual identifier growing in value over time, as obviously that is linked to the input source. And then I think the other aspect is the governance aspect. So there's also a, you know, early adopter community type kind of angle to the NFT and that NFT ownership. So that's, yeah, it's definitely, it's a very, you know, unique way of pulling these things together. What's the response been like so far from the users that you've interacted with Data Latte?
Yeah, we have like around more than 450 users, I think, on our Discord. And it has been pretty gradual how we are growing. It's been 6 months and our growth is very modest. And I'm happy that it's growing slowly so that we have a chance to actually connect with the community, to talk with them. And they have been really supportive and appreciative of what we're doing. And they show that they have the belief in the future of this project, and they're just asking us to release more and more. And now being on the other side, I realized when I was in other Web3 communities in the Discord, and like users keep demanding like, yo, release this product, we need to, like, to get this going. I realized like how it is to be on the other side, that you realize actually how much time and effort is to making things and what kind of problems can come on the way, you know, especially in Web3. Everything is developing on the edge, you know, everything is getting updated and so on. So a lot of things can pop up. But the community for sure has made it fun as well. And we see a lot of endless possibilities that we can engage with this community together along the way and making this ride really enjoyable for both of us.
Awesome. And you managed to collect, I can't remember the number, but I remember you collected quite a few Netflix viewer histories as well.
Yeah, so we had like the first batch of NFTs, the 101 data baristas. That was done like around 2 or 3 months ago, I guess in January. And then we released 1,010, and from that so far, I think 220 are minted. So in general, we have like 320 Netflix data at the moment.
Cool. So the second drop, so to speak, is essentially live at the moment, or at the time of recording this. And if a user goes and drops their Netflix viewing history, they get to mint one of these NFTs. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's just basically 3 clicks. Like the user need to download their Netflix data, log in to our dashboard and upload the data. Just basically 3 clicks. We mint the NFT on Polygon to the wallet directly, and we pay the gas. So the user basically doesn't need to do anything after uploading the data. And we have sorted out all the pipelines that automatically cleans the data and pull it into the pool. And we also published some nice insights about this Netflix data. We published in the blog post with Rockpool Index as well. We saw some patterns. Like on Sundays, people are watching more Netflix. It makes sense. Also throughout the year, October actually is the highest usage of Netflix among our users. I would have maybe think more colder season, more colder months, but actually October was the case. And we also saw like that during the pandemic, people started watching more drama than comedy. Before actually comedy was dominant, but this whole pandemic has been so dramatic that made people to watch more drama afterward, which we could see it in the data.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. Drama outside and inside.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So what's maybe one of the biggest problems that you're facing right now in terms of pushing Data Latte forward? I'm sure there's many different things and you know, everything, you're pushing everything forward all in the same time. But is there anything that sort of stands out at the moment as being your number one hurdle? If you could wave a magic wand and fix it, what would it be?
Yeah, basically all it comes down to trust. In convincing people to give us their data. And basically it's because people have grown increasingly aware of how big tech is using their data and what they're doing with it. And people are feeling violated and disgusted. They lost the trust. And when we're asking for the data or provide some monetary benefit for it, people are skeptical. I think they have a hard time trusting us, unfortunately, and that's the main problem now. Also, blockchain, crypto, NFTs, people are also a little bit skeptical about these new emerging technologies. And we believe like a little bit more adoption and education can bring people around. And we also do our part on educating people about these technological tools.
Very cool. If you were to fast forward and maybe, you know, go a couple of years into the future, people have become more comfortable and familiar with, you know, Web3 technologies, and it's not that long ago that people were super skeptical of Bitcoin, and I'm sure many people still are, but I mean, the ground has completely shifted on that, and as a result of sort of 2020 and this last bull run. So it's not too much of a stretch of the imagination to think that, you know, people will start to become more familiar and comfortable with these tools. It's just a matter of adjusting your time horizons, I suppose. If Data Latte was a huge success, you know, what would be different? How could you imagine this coming to life if it were to kind of achieve all of your, you know, your wildest sort of dreams and hopes for the project?
Be awesome, and it's nice to think of the dreams. I hate to sound like I'm self-righteous, but I really believe that data can help level out the economic imbalance and provide opportunities for those that are from emerging economies. At the moment, the world's leading data centers and cloud infrastructure are run by the superpowers, meaning most of the internet users' data come from these countries, and neglecting the insights from the global south. Not only that, but also the services are unaffordable and inaccessible to those from emerging economies. And from what we already know, AI and business analytics both require as much as data as possibly can get. So the global south doesn't have equal access to data like the West and other capitalist nations. They're being kept as a slower pace economically, socially, compared to the global north. So I believe providing affordable, reliable and previously inaccessible user data to developers and data scientists around the world can remedy that. And we hope one day to be the Kickstarter for dormant economies and hopeful contributing to raise the standard of living and overall the quality of life.
That's awesome. So, I mean, in a way, really, it's democratizing data ownership. And I think if you were to kind of plot data ownership on a map at the moment, I'm sure someone's done it. It would be fairly top heavy with just a handful of people kind of pulling all the strings in that regard. So, yeah, it's definitely a very, very interesting space to be exploring. So you mentioned that people can go and sort of mint their own NFT at the moment. If I were to go and upload my Netflix viewing history, and presumably there's no personally identifiable information in that?
Yeah, basically your Netflix viewing history is just the title of the movie or series you watched, and next to it the date that you watched that. So I mean, basically if you even publish it online, nobody can really identify, unless you're like a very big fan of, I don't know, like a movie like Die Hard, or I don't know, that you watched it like 15 times in a weekend, and people like you boast about in your social media that you are a fan. So that's one way of identifying it. But we are not going to sell also this data in a raw fashion. We will do it anonymously in a pool, and also when it would be the raw data, then we incorporate the use of technology of computer data, meaning we don't give the access to the raw data. We give access to the algorithm to have access to the data, train its model with it, and like without actually getting any identifiable information out of it.
Yeah, cool. And if I was to do it, so is the governance NFT thing finished now? Is is that still open, or is there, you know, what is sort of the, if I was to upload my Netflix viewing data now, what would I get?
Yeah, so you get the NFT, your data will go to the pool. So when we sell that pool to data scientists, you earn an income from it. And in the dashboard, there are two tabs of data quest and DAO. So in the data quest, you get to, for example, if every month you update your data, you will earn XPs. If you, for example, answer to this question of ketchup or mayo or some certain data quest that makes your data more valuable, you earn XPs. And then in the DAO, we ask our users, would you like to earn our native token for these XPs? And what kind of a name they suggest for it? So that was like two questions we initially ask in our DAO. And we always keep bringing new things to the data quest and the DAO. We are at the moment designing this quest. And also, we are working on a new product that will come to the dashboard as well, that will make this whole process of collecting data quests from the users way more entertaining for the user. I wouldn't spill too much beans about this product, but basically you play to earn. So aside from selling data in the marketplace and earning for the people, we're also creating our own native community with this token, that they get rewarded to actually make their data more valuable and also participate in the DAO.
Cool, very cool. So aside from you know, contributing towards the first data pool and receiving an NFT, if people listening want to get more involved with Data Latte, what's the best way for them to do that, and where can they go?
I mean, if to get to how our dashboard works and so on, if there is any question, they can just pop up in our Discord. If there is any problem, we have a big team. We are around 15 people, including Pedro, my dog, and we'll be online to answer any questions. And basically, for anybody who like to help in this movement, just spreading the word, creating more awareness, bringing people together for this cause of having a fair data economy that everybody get to profit from it, and not just the big man on the top.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for your time. And yeah, really looking forward to seeing how things progress with Data Latte. And I am not a Netflix user myself, but my wife is. So yeah, I might have to get myself an NFT.
Yeah, for sure, dude. And also, next month, we are releasing the next pipeline for Twitter. So users also get to upload their Twitter data and get the NFTs.
Very cool. I'm sure that one will be a great test case for the world of crypto Twitter. So very much looking forward to seeing that. Hey, is there anything else you wanted to add before we sign off?
Not really. I just want to thank you and voices like you that debate these ideas and bringing more awareness to the people. And yeah, thanks a lot, Scott.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. And thank you to you and Pedro and the rest of the team.
Yeah, thanks a lot, dude.
Thanks for listening to the Ocean Missions Campfire Podcast. As you may be aware, this is a relatively new show and we are looking for feedback and wanting to make it awesome. So if you have any thoughts or feedback that you'd like to share, please just send us an email to info@oceanmissions.com. That's info@oceanmissions.com. Thanks for listening.